Well, it's been good to be here for a message this morning. I wasn't sure exactly which passage to turn to. Might just take you to 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 5. I wasn't going to start here, but in light of what he just said, we'll use that for our starting point. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 5. For a message this morning, I was thinking about our lives and what are the main goals of our life and what are the things that we really enjoy? Making it a little bit stronger, what are the things that you love? What are the things that you love? I'm sure if we weren't in the middle of a message, there's a lot of things that you could just randomly say, things that we enjoy. But what are the important things? What are the important things that we really should love? Struggling to find this, it seems like. Anyway, there we go. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 5. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. He just mentioned Ascension Day, and I wasn't even thinking about that coming up. This is one of the verses that I came across when I studied. And I don't know how we take those words, the love of God. God, is that God loving us or us loving God? I think it can be taken either way. But this morning I'd like to think of the subject of loving God. Loving God. What do you love? Are we loving the things that we should love? One of the things that I was thinking about, how do we relate to all the things in life that we know that we should do, maybe even when we don't feel like doing them? Should we keep doing them? It's a question. Should we keep doing them if we don't feel like doing them? What if we're only obeying and loving God because of a sense of duty? How do we relate to that? Should we just continue to go through the motions? We know there's people who, when they don't feel like doing something, they don't do it. Is that the right thing? Well, we'll get to that question at the end of the message. Loving God. Paul's exhortation to the Thessalonians is that they would love God and patiently wait for Jesus. Loving God. I invite you to Exodus chapter 20. It's where we know we do have the Ten Commandments. Loving God is the first commandment. Loving God, the Bible command to love God and Jesus is the first main point of the message. The Bible command to love God and Jesus, Exodus 20, verse 3. Well, actually, let's read verses 1 through 7. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. And then to Matthew chapter 22. Here we have the Pharisees coming to Jesus saying, what is the greatest commandment? We'll read that in Matthew 22. And Jesus answers them. Matthew 22, verse 34, but when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, saying, Master, "Which is the great commandment in the law?" And Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment." The first and great commandment is to love God. And so we have, under the main point, the first one was, loving God is the first commandment, and loving God is the greatest commandment, 1 and 2. I found it interesting to read Adam Clark's commentary, and he says that this is the first and greatest, and he gives 10 reasons. In its antiquity, being as old as the world, and engraven originally on our nature, in dignity, as directly proceeding from and referring to God, in excellence, being the commandment of the new covenant and the spirit of the divine adoption, in justice, is the first and greatest, or the greatest in justice, because it alone renders to God his due, prefers him before all things, and secures to him his proper rank in relation to them. In sufficiency, being in itself capable of making men holy in this life and happy in the other. In fruitfulness, because it is the root of all commandments and the fulfilling of the law. In virtue and efficacy, because by this God alone reigns in the heart of man, and man is united to God in extent, leaving nothing to the creature which does not refer to the Creator. In necessity, being absolutely indispensable. In duration, being ever to be continued on earth and never to be discontinued in heaven. I like those 10 points, and I think they're good reasons for us to consider that subject, this subject this morning. Matthew 10, you can back up there, we're just a few chapters away, in Matthew 10 and verse 37. Jesus said, "He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." And here we see, of course, he talked about the love of God, but I believe it's also important for us to love Jesus just the same. And the Apostle Paul teaches us that as well, that to know Jesus was the thing that he treasured the most. He was willing to give up anything to know Jesus. If we value other relationships ahead of Jesus, Jesus is disappointed with that. Jesus takes our love for him very seriously. That's point number 3. And then John 14, I'll read a few verses there. "If you love me, keep my commandments." It's verse 15, and I'm going to drop down to verse 21. "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." Verse 23, Jesus answered and said unto him, "If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me." And so we see that love for Jesus is foundational to our Christian life. We also see here, number 5, that our love for God is accompanied with our obedience. It is expressed in obedience. That's how we know if we love God or not, is if we're listening to him and obeying. If a man says that he loves God, but he doesn't listen to God, then we know that he doesn't really love him. It's one of the things that it teaches us here in John 14, that love and obedience are inseparable. 1 John 5, you can turn with me there as well. 1 John chapter 5. And verse 1, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? It's interesting that here he connects that if when we love God and keep his commandments, it says that proves that we love the children of God. It's interesting how that he connects these different thoughts in different ways. And of course, we know back in Matthew 22 that Jesus said the second commandment is to love our fellow man. And so we can't love God or Jesus or be obedient or love people without doing all the others. They are all interconnected and intertwined tightly together. We also see here, sixthly, that when we love God, we have pleasure in serving him. And you get that in verse 3. His commandments are not grievous. We love keeping his commandments. We love serving him. We love obeying him. It is not drudgery to live for God. It is a privilege, and we love to do that if we really love him. When we love God, we also turn our backs on the world, and that is in verse 4. Moving back to Matthew chapter 22, the three different ways that we show that we love God, or three different aspects of loving God. It says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God, how? With all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. In studying, I was reading Adam Clark, and I really liked the way he expressed this and put it together, and so I'm just going to read his thoughts. He who loves God with all his heart, first of all, he who loves God with all his heart, who loves nothing in comparison of him, and nothing but in reference to him, who is ready to give up, do, or suffer anything in order to please and glorify him, who has in his heart neither love nor hatred, hope nor fear, inclination nor aversion, desire nor delight, but as they relate to God and are regulated by him. And so when God is central in our life, everything works out from there. We make all of our decisions in reference to where God is on that issue. He loves God with all his strength, secondly, who exerts all the powers of his body and soul in the service to God, who for the glory of his Maker spares neither labor nor cost, who sacrifices his time, body, health, ease for the honor of God, his divine Master, who employs in his service all his goods, his talents, his power, credit, authority, and influence. And I had to think about Solomon and his offering of 1,000 cattle. He loves God with all his mind or intellect, who applies himself only to know God and his holy will, who receives with submission, gratitude, and pleasure the sacred truths which God has revealed to man, who studies no art nor science, but as far as it is necessary for the service of God, and uses it at all times to promote his glory, who forms no projects nor designs, but in reference to God and his interest of mankind, who banishes from his understanding and memory every useless, foolish, and dangerous thought, together with every idea which has any tendency to defile his soul, or in turn for a moment from the center of his eternal repose. In a word, he who sees God in all things thinks of him at all times, having his mind continually fixed upon God, acknowledging him in all his ways, who begins, continues, and ends all his thoughts, words, and works to the glory of his name. This is the person who loves God with all his heart, life, strength, and intellect. He is crucified to the world and the world to him. He lives, yet not he, but Christ lives in him. He beholds as in a glass the glory of the Lord and is changed into the same image from glory to glory, simply and constantly looking unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of his faith. He receives continual supplies of enlightening and sanctifying grace and is thus fitted for every good work and word. O glorious state, far, far beyond this description, which comprises an ineffable communion between the ever-blessed Trinity and soul of man. I thought he put it together so well. For the next part of the message, part three, I would like to think of people whose love for God caused them to do strange and extreme things. Who was called the friend of God? Obviously, we think of friend. Friendship is built on what? Love, right? Who was the friend of God? James 2:23, and I believe it's also in 1 Chronicles mentioned that Abraham was the friend of God. How was Abraham the friend of God? It says that he believed God, and it was imputed for him unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Abraham's love for God caused him to bind his son Isaac and put him on the altar. He was willing to offer his son. Genesis 22:2, God commanded him to do it, and he did it. It says, take thy son whom thou lovest. It was interesting in looking for the word love and searching the Hebrew word. That's the first place it came up. And I had to wonder, is that really the first place love was in the Bible? I don't believe that it was. We know that God loved even before time, before the creation of the earth. And so he came up with the plan of salvation. We also know that we believe that love was a part of their relationship as they walked with God and communed with God, that love was there and also in other human relationships. But that was the first place that it was mentioned in Genesis 22, at least that I could find. But when you boiled it all down, Abraham loved God more than Isaac. What about you or I? Are we willing to put God ahead of our children, ahead of our wife? If living for God costs us in relationship to fall out of favor because someone else that we count dear to us is headed a different direction, are we willing to stand for truth that God asks us to do even ahead of that relationship? When I love God, I will obey him, even though it costs me dearly. It's not quite connected to this, but I could have made it a little more personal, like Abraham. Secondly, I had to think of Moses. Moses' love for God caused him to choose to suffer with the oppressed people of God. I had to think of what all it cost Moses when he killed that Egyptian. He lived the life of a fugitive. Why? Because he was willing to associate with the Israelites under their oppression. He could have chosen to reject his own people, choosing rather to identify with the Egyptians and live a lifestyle of glory and of all of the pleasures of Egypt. But he didn't. And so I believe this morning that when I love God, I will also be willing to identify with his people, even if it causes me to endure suffering and shame. And I know that this morning it doesn't cost us a lot to be a Christian. It's really pretty easy. Most of the people that we meet, it is surprising. If you take the courage to talk to people, they have some form of religion. Most people do. Now, it's not all Christian. There's a lot of different a lot of different people that call themselves Christians, but they really don't follow Jesus. They have some other philosophy, and yet they feel like they fall under the category of Christians. There's a lot of people that are Christians, and so we don't face a lot of persecution. Even my Muslim friend Matt, he talks about how that we stand for the same values and that he has a lot of respect for the Christians who really live by the law of God. And We realize that we don't face persecution, and yet Moses was willing, and I believe we will be willing to suffer with the people of God if we really love him. Joshua's love for God, in Joshua 24, verse 15, he calls the Israelites to choose whom they will serve. And he makes a declaration, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Joshua's love for God led him to serve God and also to lead others to serve God. And I believe that that should be one of the characteristics of our life. If we really love God, I believe it's only fitting for us that we would be vocal about it, that we would tell people that our primary purpose in life is to serve God, that we would bear that testimony as we meet them, that we would challenge them also to love God. I had the privilege yesterday to meet a man, and I was standing there waiting for some service, and we got to talking about a wide variety of things. And one of the things that I learned from, I can't think of his name, but a fairly popular, someone who goes out and meets a lot of people, pointing them to Christ. He's a street preacher. But point to a building and say, "You know that building, there's a building. Did you ever see a building that didn't have a builder? And if you look around at creation, doesn't creation point to a creator?" Amen. And point them to God. Use that very simple illustration. You know, every vehicle has a manufacturer. And it, just that simple illustration can point them to God. And it's a tremendous privilege to do that and to get them thinking about where they came from. And I know this COVID-19, I think, gives us extra opportunity to do that, because people were suddenly thinking about death, when normally we go through our lives and don't know anyone real close, maybe other than a grandpa or great-grandpa or grandmother or distant relative who died. Death suddenly is staring a lot of people in the face, and it's making people think. And I believe this is an opportunity to share a word for God, just like Joshua did. When I love God, I will serve him and draw others to serve him. I had to think of David's love for God that inspired him to spend countless hours meditating on him and writing psalms. I've never written a psalm. I probably should take the time and effort to do it, but I'm inspired as I read the psalms that David wrote. You know what he was thinking about. Yes, there was times when he was struggling with where he was in life, but he always went back to God. When I love God, my mind will be drawn to him. I also know David is a man who inspired to build a magnificent house for God. And of course, we know that God didn't allow him to do that. He could get the preparations ready. But I believe the lesson for that is, when I love God, I will give the best thing I have, which is my body, as a house for him to dwell in. I had to think of Daniel and his love for God, as Brother Roman brought up the other night, how that when Daniel knew that it was against the law, he still went and prayed in the window. He still did that. Daniel's love for God moved him to risk his life to honor God above the king. When I love God, I will obey God rather than those who oppose him. And this morning, I'm not suggesting a riot or revolt against the governor, not at all. But we do have to remember that we live under the authority of God. And there's no man who has authority more than God, even though I believe there's a time to be respectful and even a time to stay home and have services at home. We did that. And I believe that we still can live in respect of our governor in our business life, and that we should. But we are also called to obey God above them. And if he calls us to worship him instead of God, as Daniel was called to do, that we couldn't do that. Let's remember to obey God rather than men who oppose him. I'd also think of Jesus' love for God when he surrendered his will. And it's a challenge for you and I to surrender our will to God when we are struggling. Maybe it seems like God's asking us to do too much. Lord, I don't feel like I can. But we know that God wants us to do it. Then we need to do it. We need to surrender our will and live in obedience to him. Paul's love for God motivated him to give his life for the service and service to the church, for the growth of the church. And I believe today that our love for God will cause us to love the things that God loves, that are precious to him, whether it's the church, whether it's our own family. Relationships are important to God, and I believe that we should pour our lives out on the behalf of the relationships that God counts as precious. Lastly, I'd like to look at steps to help us to grow in our love for God. What are the steps that we can take to help our love for God grow? First of all, let's get rid of anything that stands in the way. Get rid of anything that stands in the way. And we can think, first of all, of ourself, our own selfishness, our own pride. You know, one of the things that keeps us from seeing God is when anything we think about centers around ourself. Seeing ourselves obscures the glory of God. And if all we can think about are the great things that we have done and things that we can do, then we cannot see God. And we need to humble ourselves before God. We need to find humility and repentance before him. We also have to dethrone any other idol. And that's what he begged the Israelites for in Exodus 20. Don't bow down to the idols of the world, the nations around you. Today there are many, many idols in the world around us. We must recognize them for what they are, as nothing, and rid them out of our lives. We cannot sell out to the idols of the world around us. God is a jealous God, and he will not share the throne room of our heart with any other God. It's something for us to remember. You know, we tend to think, well, we can live for money and live for God. We can serve both or let some other idol enter our heart. But we cannot. God does not take that lightly. How do we grow in our love for God? I believe it's through meditating on the attributes and abilities of God. As we understand who God is, He will become bigger and more elevated in our life. He is big. The truth is whether or not we recognize and admit that. It doesn't actually change who he is, except in our minds, how big he is. How big is God in your mind? What are his attributes and abilities? And if we struggle to glorify him, it's because we're not choosing to meditate and think about who he is. We cannot lift up ourselves by ourselves. Do you ever see that? Someone lifting up on their own shoestrings or boot? The illustration was given of someone laying on the ground and trying to lift their belt. Well, what are you doing? Well, I'm trying to stand up. How? Well, I'm lifting on my belt, trying to pull myself up. Doesn't work too well, does it? We can only lift ourselves up by reaching outside of ourselves. Leaning on God, we cannot help ourselves up without God's help, without others' help. Ponder the work of God and Jesus in the past, what he did in the past for us, what he's doing in the present, and what he's doing in the future. Where would you be without Jesus? Where would I be? What is Jesus doing for us today? You think about the intercession that he's doing. And you think about the future without Jesus. What would it be like to spend eternity in hell? It's good for us to think about that. What will it be like to spend eternity in heaven? It does us good to think about that as well. And the difference that God makes, whether he's in our life or whether he's out of our life. Just as Adam Clark said, loving God is something that we can do today and continue throughout all eternity. What is the purpose of man? It's to love God and to glorify him forever. This morning, who do you love? Do you love God? If you do not love him, you are the loser.